Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Carl Post and I represent appellant Andrew Abraham. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for my rebuttal. Oregon's public accommodation law exempts local correction facilities from liability for failure to accommodate people with disabilities. We're here on a matter of first impression to decide whether private contractors are exempt from liability for violations of Oregon's public accommodations law. Because this is an important issue of first impression, one which there's no, obviously no precedent from the Oregon courts, and the importance of the issue, plaintiff's motion to certify the question to the Oregon Supreme Court should be granted. If the court decides to answer the question itself, then the court should determine this exemption does not extend to private contractors such as Corizon. And plaintiff should be allowed to amend his complaint and pursue his claim against Corizon. Court has discretion to certify the question to the Oregon Supreme Court, and in turn, the Oregon Supreme Court also has discretion whether to grant that or accept the certification. There's no dispute by the parties that the five conditions of or the criteria to certify the question outlined in Western Helicopter are all met in this case. And therefore, because they're met, it really is a question that should be certified to the Oregon Supreme Court. Again, there's no precedent. It's an important legal significance and has dispositive effect on this case. The legal significance will extend beyond just to Corizon because it would also apply to other entities that provide services to inmates.
Counsel, yes. May I ask, as I understand the statute, if the jail had provided, if the people at the jail providing these services were employees of the jail, you would not be able to bring this action because they'd be covered by the local correctional facility exemption in the statute. So why is it a sensible result that the same people doing the same thing, but instead of being jail employees, they're employees of a contractor, then you do have an action? Why does that distinction make sense?
Well, helpful guidance on that would be to look at the ADA. If you have a situation where a public body is not liable under, say, Title I of the ADA or Title III of the ADA, such as like a state park or a federal park or something like that. If there's a private contractor there providing services, they're not, they are liable under the law because they're not the public body. Just like here, this isn't Clackamas County providing the services. And so Corizon doesn't get to put itself into Clackamas County's shoes and become a local correctional facility. In fact, Corizon even argued for the purpose of Abraham's Title II claim that it does not become the public body merely by contracting with the local correctional facility. And so that's judicial estoppel on that case. And so you can't argue that under Title II, we're not the public body, so we're not liable. But then under a different statute, be like, wait, we actually are the public body. Services that they would be shielded from, therefore you shield us also. And so I think that's the distinction is the Oregon legislature didn't choose to extend this to private entities. Just like if an inmate goes to Providence to receive health care, the inmate or Providence would not be shielded from this exemption in there.
Right, but the statute says a place of public accommodation does not include, and then it says a local correction facility, and here the medical services are being offered at that facility.
Well, it's Oregon's public accommodation statute, part of the problem is that they call it a place of public accommodation, but it's not just about where the services are. It's not just about a place, it's also about services. And again, the issue here is it's a private contractor providing services. The local correctional facility is not providing these services. So if Horizon was across the street from the jail, it doesn't make sense that they would be subject to the law, but if they're providing these services within the jail, they're shielded from it. Nothing in the statute.
I'm not sure I follow that, though. I mean, doesn't it seem that there is a difference that once you cross the walls of the jail, that does not seem like a place of public accommodation, and the statute makes that clear. But when you're on the other side of the street and there is a medical facility that is not within the jail, the situation could be different. That distinction seems like a pretty reasonable one.
Well, the statute does not say that private entities providing services at a local correctional facility are exempt from the statute. Only Clackamas County Jail is exempt. And again, that's focusing on the place. If you're going to apply it to Horizon, I disagree that is what the legislature intended. It's certainly not written in the statute anywhere, and there's no discussion in the legislative history that they intended private entities to be shielded from liability under this statute.
I guess what's bothering me, though, is you have this exception for a local correction facility. We know that is not a place of public accommodation. And then you have up above under 1A what a public accommodation is. It's something that is a place or a service offering to the public some accommodation. It just doesn't feel that natural to say that a medical facility within a prison is offering a service to the public. In a technical sense, perhaps, but in a normal, more regular language usage way, it doesn't really seem that it works. And then when you combine that with the exception for a local correction facility, you seem to be put those two together, you have a hard argument.
Well, if the local correctional facility without this exemption wouldn't have been considered a place of public accommodation, then there would have been no reason to insert the exemption within it. So certainly services provided there could be considered a public accommodation. These are healthcare services. There's nothing technically that those are services that have to be provided by, and in fact, they are not provided by the Clackamas County Jail. And so, again, you should be focus should be on the service here, jail service. It's a service, it's a healthcare service provided just like if it's Providence or if it's Horizon in a different building. The building that the services are provided in should not be the issue that controls whether or not Horizon subject to this law. In 2013, the law was amended to broaden it and encompass as many entities and services as possible. And this court shouldn't craft an exemption that the Oregon legislature chose not to include in there. It would have been really easy to include a statement that it exempts local correction, any private entities contracting on its behalf. And
also, you're down to about a minute and a half. Do you want to reserve?
I'll reserve it, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Kovac?
Thank you, and may it please the court and counsel, my name is Sarah Kovac, appearing on behalf of the respondent, Horizon Health. The district court was correct that plaintiff cannot state a viable claim for relief under the Oregon Public Accommodation Act. And that is true for two separate reasons. First, Horizon is not an entity that falls within the definition of a place of public accommodation under the Act. And second, plaintiff does not fall within the class of persons who are protected under the Act. Both of those issues are straightforward issues of statutory interpretation. And although the Oregon courts have not addressed this exact fact pattern, they have defined what the statutory requirements are to be a place of public accommodation or to be a person who is covered under the Act, and plaintiff cannot satisfy either of those requirements. So first I'll start on the issue of whether or not Horizon qualifies as an entity who is covered under the Act. The statute prescribes a two-step inquiry to determine whether an entity is covered under the Act. The first step looks at whether the entity is a place or service that is offered to the public or is open to the public. And then the second step is whether any of the statutory applies. And here, as a provider of medical services exclusively to inmates at the jail, Horizon is excluded from the definition under both steps of the statute. So looking at the first part, the meaning of a place of public accommodation, the key statutory term there under all of the definitions of a place of public accommodation is that it has to be a place or a service that is offering to the public or that is opening to the, open to the public some service or goods or place for the public to go. And the Oregon courts have interpreted the term offering to the public, and they have interpreted it consistently with the plain meaning of the text. Accessible to the community at large or offered to the general public.
But, and the counsel, if that were the end of it, then, I mean, as your friend made the point that the exemptions for state correctional institutions and local correction facilities seem like they would be pointless because, you know, jails are never open to the public in that sense, and yet the exemption suggests that maybe open to the public has a broader meaning that might otherwise cover them. So can you address that?
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor. So the legislative history sheds some light on that question of why these statutory exclusions were added. And what the history reflects is that there was concern that a place like a jail or another facility of involuntary detention could be considered a place of public accommodation for some purposes. For example, public visitation or public tours. And law enforcement provided testimony that they had concerns about whether there'd be a risk that the statute would be interpreted in a way that would make them a place of public accommodation in some respects at least. And what the legislature did in response to that was adopt broad categorical exclusions that apply to all definitions of place of public accommodation that categorically exclude these places for all purposes from the definition of place of public accommodation. And these are not exclusions that are limited or defined by who is providing the service. The exclusions apply to all parts of subsection 1 of the statute. They broadly and categorically exclude these from places of public accommodation. And for that reason, both because Horizon services are not offered to the public and because they are subject to that exclusion, they are not a place of public accommodation.
What do you make of your friend's argument that it's an important issue and maybe you have the better of the argument, but maybe the Oregon Supreme Court should be the one to make that decision? What's your response to that?
So I think the response to that is that the Oregon Supreme Court in the Western Helicopter decision outlined the factors that this court should consider and that it considers in terms of certification to the state. And what the Oregon Supreme Court said is the most important factor is whether there's already controlling Oregon precedent on the questions. And it doesn't matter if the controlling precedent is from the intermediate court, the Oregon Court of Appeals, or from the Oregon Supreme Court. If there is controlling Oregon precedent, that's what governs, and it is not a per case.
Do you think there is that kind of precedent here?
Yes, I do. The Oregon courts have not confronted this precise fact pattern, but they certainly have addressed what is the meaning of offering to the public, and they've also addressed what are the classes of persons who are covered by the Act. Both of those are governed by existing Oregon precedent that is well established, standing for the first point that offer to the public. And that has been decided in a recent case in terms of the class of people who are covered under the Act. So although the Oregon courts have not applied this test in this precise context, they certainly have issued decisions on the meaning of the key statutory terms that are at issue in this case. You know, and another point I would just make on that is that these really are straightforward issues of statutory interpretation. The Oregon law has a very well-established methodology for statutory interpretation. Oregon courts interpret statutes, the text of the statute, the context, and the legislative history. They interpret the text of the statute according to the plain terms of the statute, as the Oregon Court of Appeals did in the cases that we've cited in our answering brief. The Finnemore case, defining the meaning of patron or customer under the act, and then the Parsons and Graham cases, which are the leading Oregon cases on the meaning of offer to the public.
Can I ask you to address Finnemore? Because I'm not sure it really helps you. I mean, I grant that in the ordinary language sense, a person would not ordinarily describe a jail inmate as a customer of the jail or the medical services at the jail. But Finnemore, I mean, you also wouldn't normally describe somebody who wants to go to a meeting as a customer of an electric utility. But they seem to adopt a pretty broad reading that it's anybody trying to use the services provided by the defendant, and that's what the plaintiff was doing here. So why isn't he a customer under that definition?
Yeah. So the Finnemore case actually adopted quite a narrow definition of patron or customer. The plaintiff in that case was a person who was trying to attend a public meeting as a guest at the electrical cooperative. And the court determined, it did not decide whether the electric cooperative qualified as a place of public accommodation. It did not reach that question. Instead, it rejected plaintiff's claim on the ground that the plaintiff was not, just by trying to go to a meeting at the electric cooperative, that they did not qualify as a customer or patron. And for that reason, it rejected the plaintiff's claims. And it adopted a very narrow definition of those terms. It said that those terms should be adopted according to their ordinary meaning. And it specifically compared the Oregon Public Accommodation Act with the Title III of the ADA, and noted that it uses different terms and it has much narrower coverage. Title III of the ADA applies much more broadly to any person or individual, whereas the Oregon Public Accommodation, this particular subsection, only protects a customer or patron. Does that answer your question, Your Honor? Or?
Go on, yeah.
So again, the Oregon Public Accommodation really is a much narrower and much different statute than the ADA. It applies only to places that are offered to the public or services that are offered to the public. It categorically excludes jails and correctional facilities. And it also, the other statutory exclusion that I just want to note briefly, is that it also excludes distinctly private services. And that also is a categorical statutory exclusion that applies here. Horizon services here are provided under the terms of a private contract with Clackamas County. It only serves the people that law enforcement have detained at the jail and who have been referred to Horizon for the services. So again, these are not services that are offered to the public, that are open to the public. They are offered in a location that is categorically excluded from coverage. And the statute itself is limited to protecting only customers and patrons in the ordinary senses of those terms. So for those reasons, we would submit that there is Oregon law that governs the meanings of the key statutory terms at issue in this case. And for that reason, we would ask the court to affirm.
Thank you, counsel. Post, you have a minute 19 left.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just to touch briefly, they mentioned the plain text, and that is the first step in Oregon statutory interpretation. And the plain text here, again, it only includes local correctional facilities, and it doesn't include private entities providing services there. And, you know, their whole argument is based on stuff other than the plain text, and, just supplying that definition alone, Mr. Abraham should proceed. And then this regarding the Finnemore case, there the plaintiff wasn't eligible because she admitted that she couldn't receive the services of the defendant. Here, inmates are members of the public. There's no case that says inmates aren't. Holding that inmates aren't members of the public would mean inmates going to any, receiving services from any entity would no longer be protected by this. And again, the legislature did not exclude them. And defendant doesn't have to provide services to every conceivable member of the public. Even in Fenimore, only people that lived within a certain geographical area were entitled to those services, but they were still subject to the law. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank both counsel for their helpful arguments, and the case is submitted.